He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account...
Thank you.
For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
The big problem this country has is being politically correct. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And to be honest with you, this country doesn't have time either. This country is in big trouble. We don't win anymore. We lose to China. We lose to Mexico, both in trade and at the border. We lose to everybody. And frankly, what I say, and oftentimes it's fun, it's kidding, we have a good time. What I say is what I say. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that. But you know what? We need strength, we need energy, we need quickness, and we need brain in this country to turn it around. That I can tell you right now.
And this is Rita Cosby in for Geraldo this morning on 77 WABC. What a feisty debate last night. Trump delivered. Of course, we expected it was going to be must-see TV with him being feisty and spirited. And there were some great moments like that one. I thought it was an interesting moment. And I want to get your take on that. If you think that that was just classic Trump, if you think it helped him, do you think it hurt him? And who do you think won the debate? I've been in those debate halls. I was with Fox News for 10 years. I was their senior correspondent in Washington. I've been in those debate halls. I've been there talking to the candidates before the debate and after the debate and the spin alley afterwards. And there was a lot of buzz last night on what is Trump going to do and what is he not going to do. And I thought it was fascinating to see the dance between the candidates trying to figure out, okay, is Trump going to swipe me? Is he not going to swipe me? How should I handle him? It was really fascinating just to see the interactions between all the other candidates there in the big debate. Who do you think won and who do you think lost? And how do you think Trump did today? There are a lot of people who are very critical of Donald Trump. And I think he was just classic Donald Trump. It's like, what did you expect? You got Donald Trump out there. In fact, I mean, I thought he had some barbs, but I actually thought he might even throw some more. What do you think? The number is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo today. And I thought Trump, you know, came across kind of forcefully. He was interesting. I mean, I thought that moment, especially at the very beginning of the debate, I mean, clearly there were a lot of questions for Trump. He is the front runner. A lot of people are saying, oh, you know, they were grilling him with these really difficult, hard-hitting questions. And yes, there were some very hard questions. But I didn't really hear any big surprising questions per se. You know, I think a gotcha question, something that's like, hey, what happened? Did you cheat on your wife? And da 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 da. I didn't hear any of that. I mean, I think the question that Megan asked where she said, look, this, and this, these are these comments about women. I mean, that was a bit of a tough question, clearly, to ask Trump. But then I thought his answer was very funny where he said the Rosie O'Donnell thing. It was very quippy. It was sort of classic Donald Trump. And I think he delivered on being who he is. On the other hand, I do think we should have heard a little more substance from him. I think, you know, there's some of the criticism today. They thought he was nasty. I didn't think that's who Trump is. But I think I would have liked to hear a little more on policy and a little more substance from him. I think if he had done a little more of that and talked maybe about a tax plan and maybe more details about immigration as opposed to just saying, hey, let's put up the wall. I think all of those things, I think, would have helped him a bit. But I think overall, I think he did pretty well. One of the fascinating moments, and it turned out to be an interesting moment, I think everybody thought the big exchange was going to be, and clearly there were a lot of great Trump exchanges. Also, remember that moment where he slapped down Rand Paul. I mean, he just said, you know, you're not having a good night here. You know, you're obviously having a difficult time when Rand Paul was trying to get in and trying to get under Trump's skin. Trump, I thought, handled that brilliantly and basically said, you know, go away, little boy. It was kind of an interesting exchange and dynamic there. The other thing was this exchange with Chris Christie and Rand Paul, where they were getting at it about the National Security Advisor. And remember, particularly about the NSA and about intrusion into policies and intrusion into our phone records. And of course, Rand Paul has been staunch and said, you know, we should not have an invasion of privacy. You shouldn't be able to get into our records. You shouldn't be, only you need a warrant to do it. And Chris Christie was basically saying, hey, listen, Rand Paul, we're dealing with ISIS. What planet are you on? Take a listen. This is Chris Christie and Rand Paul.
Governor Christie, you've said that Senator Paul's opposition to the NSA's collection of phone records has made the United States weaker and more vulnerable, even going so far as to say that he should be called before Congress to answer for it if we should be hit by another terrorist attack. Do you really believe you can assign blame to Senator Paul just for opposing the bulk collection of people's phone records in the event of a terrorist attack?
Yes, I do. This is not theoretical to me. I went to the funerals. We lost friends of ours in the Trade Center that day, and I will make no apologies ever for protecting the lives and the safety of the American people.
Megan, may I respond?
I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from innocent Americans.
And Megan, that's a completely ridiculous answer.
I don't trust President Obama with our records. I know you gave him a big hug, and if you want to give him a big hug again, go right ahead.
Senator Paul, you know, the hugs that I remember are the hugs that I gave to the families who lost their people on September 11th. Those are the hugs I remember.
I thought that was a great answer by Chris Christie, where he came back and said, you know what? You know, these are the hugs that I remember, talking to the 9/11 families. He was clearly ready for it. I mean, we all knew he was going to get into that whole hug thing and the feeling of like, okay, well, what is so-and-so saying? But I thought also Rand Paul was pretty good in going after him. But who do you think got the better in that exchange there? Who do you think got the better of the two in that feisty, different moment? And let me play a little bit. This is what I was talking about at the beginning about the raise your hand. Let me go to that where we're talking about how they started the debate. Do you think that that was a good way to start the debate? Do you think it was a bad way? I mean, it was pretty interesting. That was a fascinating way to start the debate by having Trump say, you know what, I'm not going to necessarily commit to a Republican nominee. In other words, I might still run third party. Here's what I was talking about.
Gentlemen, we know how much you love hand-raising questions. So we promise this is the only one tonight. The only one. Is there anyone on stage, and can I see hands, who is unwilling tonight to pledge your support to the eventual nominee of the Republican Party and pledge to not run an independent campaign against that person? Again, we're looking for you to raise your hand now. Raise your hand now if you won't make that pledge tonight. Mr. Trump, to be clear, you're standing on a Republican primary debate.
I fully understand. I cannot say I have to respect the person that, if it's not me, the person that wins. If I do win and I'm leading by quite a bit, that's what I want to do. I can totally make that pledge. If I'm the nominee, I will pledge I will not run as an independent.
And it was interesting, in the hall there were about 4,500 people. And, you know, there's a lot of energy in those halls. When I've been there, there's, you know, a lot of people talking. There's a lot of buzz. I mean, I think every candidate last night, by the way, looked a little nervous, including Donald Trump, because it is intimidating. You're up there on the stage. You know you're live. You know, and it was kind of weird where they were all just sort of standing there at the beginning, too. That was awkward. But I thought that was a pretty good moment, actually, for Donald Trump, although a lot of people, of course, in the Republican Party were not happy to hear that. Does that help him? Does it make him look disloyal? Or does that make him look like he's his own man, that he's an independent guy? What are your thoughts? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo. Let's go to Michael from Staten Island. Michael, you're here on 77 WABC. What do you think?
Hi, Rita. Thanks for having me. I think it was a pivotal moment because I was sitting there watching that, and if he answered any other way, he would have lost me because I know what he had said in the past about that.
Oh, so you liked him being straightforward. You thought this is Donald Trump and this is who he is, and I'm just putting it out there. I'm not PC.
Exactly. And if he, you know, we have to listen closely to his words. And he said, I have to be able to like the person who is going to run. So why would he support someone if he didn't like their policies? And again, he was honest. And I feel, though, as though I liked it. You said you liked that moment. Maybe some people didn't like that moment.
You know what I liked, Michael, too, about the moment? What I thought was really good was, and I, you know, you kind of look at the body language and the whole thing. Brett Baer, and I know Brett well. I mean, we worked together at Fox News for a long time, and Brett, I thought, did a great job. Brett said, listen, you are on here. You are here on the stage. This is a Republican primary debate. You know, this is the race. This is where, of course, the Republican convention is going to be, and you're saying you can't now commit to the Republican nominee. And Trump came back and said, I understand. And he said, let me go through it again, basically. And he said, I understand. I got it. I thought it was really, really powerful because he said, look, I got it. I'm this is who I am. I got it. And I did think that was a very powerful moment for Trump, even though a lot of people may not like that answer. To your point, I think he seemed genuine. Let's go to Daniel from New Jersey. Daniel, how do you think Trump did in that exchange?
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful last night because I'm a driver and I listen to people. I haven't heard or seen people this excited. The last time was when the Mets won the World Series, when a 1980 hockey team won. I mean, there's a unity coming about, and Donald Trump is up there because the people want him.
So now, quick question, Daniel. What do you think of? There was a lot of criticism about him afterwards. Did you feel that he lost some people? Like Frank Luntz, who does, you know, sort of the polling group afterwards. A lot of the people raised their hand. They took it viscerally. But they were a lot of them, I think, were also fairly staunch conservatives. What do you make of that?
No, I don't think they're going to take it that way because we're talking about uniting the people in this country, and that's what's important. These little petty things, they're nothing. They're distractions.
Well, see, and I think, Daniel, to your point, those folks who like his independent spirit, the sort of renegade spirit, if you will, I think only liked him more after last night because he was like, too bad. You know, this is how I feel, and I'm not sort of a man of the party. I'm not the sort of cookie-cutter politician. The question is, some people were saying, oh, he was a little nasty, he was a little this, he was a little that. I thought he was classic Donald Trump. I'm going to continue with your calls. Who do you think won? Do you think Donald Trump won? A lot of people are saying he did not. What do you think? Do you think he did? Or is there somebody else you like that you think broke through last night? Also, I thought, by the way, Ben Carson had the great closing statement, too. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. This is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Well, I haven't said anything about me being the only one to do anything, so let me try that. I'm the only one to separate Siamese twins. The only one to operate on babies while they were still in the mother's womb. The only one to take out half of a brain, although you would think if you go to Washington that someone had beat me to it. But I'm very hopeful that I'm not the only one who's willing to pick up the baton of freedom, because freedom is not free and we must fight for it every day.
That was Ben Carson at the debate last night. This is Rita Cosby in for Geraldo. We are taking your calls. The number is 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. I thought Ben Carson did an incredible job last night. He rose up. You know, he's a very mild-mannered guy. You know, he's a neurosurgeon, very calm, very low-key. Sometimes I think a little too low-key. I think he needs to step it up with a little bit of fire because he's clearly a brilliant man, as you just heard of some of his accomplishments. But I thought he had the best closing line of the night, that statement there, where he essentially said, you know, you would think the people in Washington are the ones who have half the brain. I thought it was fabulous, and I thought he came across commanding. And I also thought Huckabee did a very good job. Governor Mike Huckabee, who's a great, eloquent speaker, clearly, and a great communicator. You know, he's been here, obviously, on 77 WABC and elsewhere. He's a great, great orator. But I thought he really stepped it up. And I thought his answer was superb, where he said, you know what, this deal with Iran is not a good deal. You know, the trust but verify. And he said, no, on Obama, it's trust but vilify. And then he also said, you know, that look, in the Iran deal, Obama didn't even get the four hostages out. I thought that was a very, very powerful exchange. Now, there's some mixed reviews, of course, on Donald Trump. And this is what political observer Charles Krauthammer had to say after the debate. He thought Trump did not do a good job.
The real story is the collapse of Trump in this debate. I thought before I saw the Luntz group, but I think it's reinforced. The fact is he was out of place. And when you think about it, when he's free form, when he's uninterrupted, when he can do the flight of ideas, when he can go on his own and ramble, he's entertaining, he's sharp, and he's actually amusing. But here, when he was controlled and in a tight setting, he was lost for most of the debate.
So was Charles Krauthammer right? Did Trump collapse? Was he out of sorts in the debate? What do you think? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. It was certainly a fascinating dynamic, so many different personalities. But who really burst through? Let's go to Ann from New Jersey. Ann, you're here on 77 WABC. Who do you think won last night?
Hi, Rita. I loved all the candidates. I thought that they were all great, including Donald Trump. But my all-time favorite last night was Mike Huckabee.
Now, why?
What? Because he really hit the issue that needs to be addressed once and for all, and that is the unborn child. And I think he came as close to overturning Roe v. Wade as anyone I have ever heard. And I think
And by the way, I agree with you, too, because I do think he came, he even said, look, you know, the Supreme Court, it's a court. It shouldn't necessarily be the law of the land. He really did kind of take Roe v. Wade. I also thought he came across as very forceful. Sometimes, you know, he has a very, like, personable manner,
right,
and very, you know, kind of, I think, which is great. He's, I think, a very good communicator. But he came across as strong last night, just not on that issue only, but also on Iran. What did you think of his Iran answer?
I thought it was great. I mean, he's tough on that. Security, and that's what this country needs, Rita.
Yeah, I agree. I think. Listen, we are headed for very tough times. As a journalist, I mean, I've covered so many war zones. I've been out there in the Middle East. This is a very serious time right now, and I think whoever we choose to be the next president, it's got to be someone who can handle some very tough choices and someone who can make, you know, some very, very difficult, very important national security questions that are looming. And, you know, and someone, you know, we've got to worry, we've got to protect the homeland, and it's got to be someone who you feel comfortable in that seat. And I thought a lot of the Republicans last night served themselves well. I thought it was a great line, by the way, also, of where I thought we heard the comment from Marco Rubio. It was at the end where they talked about God and faith and all those things. I thought it was a great line by Marco Rubio where he said, you know, God's blessed the Republican Party with a lot of great candidates. The Democrats don't even have one of them. And it did kind of remind everybody that a lot of people there on that stage, I thought, had command, and I thought certainly capable and certainly sharp. And a few in the earlier debate I thought were good. We've heard everybody say that Carly Fiorina did great. I saw that debate. I thought Carly Fiorina hit it out of the park in that earlier debate. And hopefully she will be in the next one, because it'll be fascinating to see her and Donald Trump and her and Chris Christie and her and Rand Paul in that next debate, that dynamic. Hopefully she'll have that moment. Let's go to David from Brooklyn. David, you're here on 77 WABC. Your thoughts on who won the debate?
I think Christie really showed his what the part of him that people like, tough and talk back. I want to say something about Donald Trump. Donald Trump had the gall to admit how he bribes U.S. politicians, how he gives millions of dollars to politicians, and a year later he could call in favors of them. I mean,
but hang on one second, David. But David, hang on one second. I'm going to challenge you on that, because yes, he did say that, and there's no dispute. But what he said was, the favor I asked was for Hillary Clinton to come to my wedding. And the other thing too, what Donald Trump said is a reality. That's what everybody does. I'm not saying it's right, because I don't think it is right. You're paying for access. You're paying for getting in, you know, close to these people and being able to talk to them. But what Donald Trump is saying is that is what is happening all the time. I did it like everybody else. At least he was honest that he's doing, and half the time people deny that they even do it, or even they have, you know, some backdoor deal. At least he was admitting it and saying at the same time, this is a broken system. We need to fix it. I sort of found it refreshing that he was at least being honest. We're going to continue your calls right after the break.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Ordered a host of other liberal policies. You've also donated to several Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton included, Nancy Pelosi. You explained away those donations, saying you did that to get business-related favors. And you said recently, quote, when you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do.
You better believe it.
So what specifically did they do?
If I ask them, if I need them, you know, most of the people on this stage I've given to, just so you understand, a lot of money.
Not me. Not me.
I will tell you that our system is broken. I give to many people. Before this, before 2 months ago, I was a businessman. I give to everybody. When they call, I give. And you know what? When I need something from them, 2 years later, 3 years later, I call them. They are there for me.
So what'd
and that's
get?
A broken system.
So what'd you get from Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I'll tell you what. With Hillary Clinton, I said, be at my wedding, and she came to my wedding. You know why? She had no choice because I gave. I gave to a foundation that, frankly, that foundation is supposed to do good. I didn't know her money would be used on private jets going all over the world. It was.
Straight talking Donald Trump. Some people didn't like that exchange, as you were just hearing one of our callers before the break saying that, look, he's saying he's buying influence. Well, he's saying that that's what everybody does. This is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo. I actually think it was kind of it was refreshing because, look, everybody does do that. I'm not saying it's right. I don't think it is. It is a terribly, horribly broken system. But Trump is saying, look, I did it. I'm a businessman. That's what happens. That's how you do it. There were some other moments of the debate last night, the big debate. And by the way, I was glued to both debates. I thought I'm a political junkie, as you guys know. So it was fascinating for me to watch. And I've been there at those debates, too. And I think the second one, especially, was so feisty and spirited with the crowd there. You can hear the reactions of the crowd. There was this one moment that the crowd did really like. By the way, John Kasich had the home field advantage. Of course, he's the Ohio governor. He's done really well as governor in his state. I had dinner with John Kasich a few weeks ago. I've known John because John used to host a show before me on Fox News. And he's a good talker. He comes across, some people in the party are not happy with him. They don't feel he is a, quote, staunch conservative. Some of his views clearly are not. When he talks about, you know, helping those with mental illness, helping those get out of prison, a number of those things. But a lot of people think that that's going to be a good view, and I think it is, when you go to the general election. And he gave a very compassionate answer. This was, I thought, a great moment in the debate last night, too, when he was asked about, would you, how do you feel about gay marriage? And this is what Ohio Governor John Kasich had to say.
Subject of gay marriage and religious liberty. Governor Kasich, if you had a son or daughter who was gay or lesbian, how would you explain to them your opposition to same-sex marriage?
Well, look, I'm an old-fashioned person here, and I happen to believe in traditional marriage. But I've also said the court has ruled.
But how would you
the court has ruled, and I said we'll accept it. And guess what? I just went to a wedding of a friend of mine who happens to be gay. Because somebody doesn't think the way I do doesn't mean that I can't care about them or I can't love them. So if one of my daughters happened to be that, of course I would love them and I would accept them. Because you know what? That's what we're taught when we have strong faith. So issues like that are planted to divide us. I think the simple fact of the matter is, and this is where I would agree with Jeb, and I've been saying it all along, we need to give everybody a chance, treat everybody with respect, and let them share in this great American dream that we have, Megan. So, look, I'm going to love my daughters. I'm going to love them no matter what they do. Because you know what? God gives me unconditional love. I'm going to give it to my family and my friends and the people around me.
And the crowd liked that, a little ding-ding bell. The bell was a little annoying. I don't know if I liked the bell. You know, I thought that, so, yeah, it's hard to find the right bell. They were looking for the sort of Cavaliers bell, but they said that was the buzzer was a little too abrupt. Of course, there it is. Yeah, I think that is a little. But by the way, they didn't really have to use it that much last night. It was kind of interesting. You know, I thought Trump was going to go over and over and over, and they had to keep buzzing him, but it didn't get to that. He actually was more disciplined, I think, in terms of time frame wise than I've seen him in the past. This is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo. Who do you think won? What were some of the highlights for you? And did it help or hurt Trump? It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222 is the number to call. Let's go to Ralph from Manhattan. Ralph, you're here on 77 WABC. How do you think, Ralph, Trump did, and who were the winners and losers last night?
Well, the bell was a little strange. You're right, Rita.
Yeah,
the bell could have been worked on a little bit.
Yeah, yes. You know what? The thing is, I sympathize. It's a little hard to find the right sound. The one at the, did you hear, Ralph, by the way, did you listen to the earlier one, Ralph, the 5 o'clock? That bell was odd.
A bit, yeah.
That was an odd bell. I think I liked at least the later bell. That at least was a better bell.
Yeah, I think so. The other one sounds like you're at a basketball game. Not great either. But, you know, I'm not taken by Trump. I'm not allured by his generalities, by the way he speaks in feel-good terms. And you know something, for a candidate, he was so outclassed last night. I don't have a personal vendetta against the guy, but I just don't think he's presidential. And when people, they hear me say that, they'll say, well, we don't want the politician. Yes, but do you want somebody who speaks like, he uses fill-in words like the word like. He does this all the time. This is no way for an educated, classy man to speak. I know I may be nitpicking. And here's the one thing.
By the way, speaking articulately and commanding is important as a president. I mean, you're obviously hiring substance, that's first and foremost, but it's got to be someone who can communicate the message.
I think you're articulating some good points. We vote on for so many different reasons. Now, here's my guy, Rand Paul, who looks like he has a dead animal on his head. I hate to say that, but he does. And the reason why he won't garner any votes...
What kind of dead animal, by the way? What animal does it look most like to you?
A possum. Can we say a possum?
All right, you can say a possum.
I haven't thought about... You know, what he says is brilliant because I want government as far away from me as possible, but the way he says it is very poor.
Let me ask you, Ralph, do you think last night... I think Rand Paul has some very interesting points, especially his, you know, always fighting for the Constitution. He's been pretty clear on his, you know, on his passion and his beliefs. But right. I don't know if he served himself well by going after Trump and going after Christie. I don't know if it helped him last night. I don't think it did. Do you?
Well, when you're in the moment spontaneously, that's when you get the best exchanges. In fact, you can't hold a debate with 10 folks on the stage and 3 moderators. That's not really a debate. It's some sort of a display. It's not really a debate. I like to see the interaction between the candidates because then you see the unscripted stuff come out. And, you know, Huckabee, even though he throws God in your face ad nauseum, he's a very...
You have a problem with God? Ralph, are you anti-God?
Well, I'm not a believer, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that I don't want that in my political debate. See, when I want God, I'll go to church. If I want to hear a political debate, I don't want to hear God.
Although, let me say one thing, though, Ralph. It's interesting. In a Republican debate, I thought it was interesting that they asked it in the way that they asked it because they were trying to get to their faith, how much they would move their faith with making decisions. I thought for that reason, from a political perspective, it was interesting. The other thing, too, your point is a good one. I also, and I agree with you, Ralph, that I felt last night I would have loved to have seen them interact more with each other. That moment where Rand Paul and Christie were kind of going at it, I thought was very telling, and it showed both men. And I also liked the moment, you know, where even Donald Trump sort of smacked down Rand Paul, that moment where he's like, you know, listen, little boy, you know, you're not having a good night. You know, those moments are what make it. And I think about some of the other debates, like where George W. Bush, where there was this moment, you know, where Gore was walking up to him and he's like, hello, remember, like you're invading my space during the debate. And that was one of like the great debate moments, totally unscripted. Gore just kind of walked over close to him and was like, hello there, and then kept talking, like, move away, you're in my way. And these, you know, unscripted moments, these sort of underdeveloped moments that just kind of happened, I think, to your point, really tell the person. And yeah, there wasn't a lot of interaction. I would have liked to have seen questions that sort of would have moved them to interact. They tried a couple times, like with Jeb Bush and Trump, and Jeb Bush just kind of wouldn't bite, nor would Trump really bite. They also tried to get Kasich to kind of go after Trump, and Kasich wouldn't bite. So it was interesting, the sort of dance on how they handled Trump and didn't handle Trump. Let's go to Tony from White Plains. Tony, you're here on 77 WABC. What were your favorite moments?
Yeah, hi, Rita. I'm surprised nobody picked this up when Ron Paul and Christie were going at it about him hugging Obama. When he was hugging Obama, Christie came back and was talking about 9/11, how he's hugging people from 9/11 and all. That had nothing to do with 9/11. When he hugged Obama, that was after the storm, Sandy.
Yeah, it was an interesting point. I mean, he was just trying to
look that up.
Yeah, no, actually, that's a great point because you're right. It was right after Superstorm Sandy, and he's like, the hugs I remember, like, how could you think of that hug? I think his symbolism was, you know, that was just a small moment, this other
right.
moment. That was a political moment. This moment is much more meaningful. But you're right. It was kind of an interesting sort of apples and oranges. But it was a good deflection because you're one of the few people who's been talking about that. So that was a good deflection by Christie that has not been the big issue so far yet. But, of course, now is sort of when people trickle out and go, hey, did that make sense or did that not make sense? Let's go to Frank from Blue Point, New York. Frank, you're here on 77 WABC with Rita Cosby. Go
Hi,
ahead,
Rita.
Frank.
Doing a good show. Hey, Rita, I got right in with your last call. As far as Christie is concerned and the hug, okay, I have always felt, and I don't see how a Rand Paul can't see this or anyone else can't, and maybe they do, they're just not saying it. He was welcoming the President of the United States. He was saying, I'm glad you're here. He wasn't embracing the Democratic Party. It was just he was being cordial and saying thanks for being here and gave him a hug. And that's I don't see how you could take it any other way.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Republican Party has taken it and even said, that helped Obama so much.
Yeah.
But even Christie's come out and said, look, I've talked to Mitt Romney since then, and Mitt Romney doesn't hold it against me, nor should you.
You know what I think, Rita, also, if I may say, if he had answered Rand Paul by saying that, I was respecting the presidency.
Yeah.
I was doing that. And
actually,
you
know what?
He was there, and I gave him a hug, and I don't care what party he was from.
You know, Frank, you bring up an interesting point. That would have been a brilliant answer to say, look, I respect the presidency of the United States, and that's why I'm running for president. That would have been a brilliant way to handle that. We're going to continue with your calls, who won, who lost. What do you think of a lot of the sharp criticism against Trump today? Is it fair? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The reason we disagree with them has nothing to do with party. It has to do with the incredibly dangerous place that this world is going to be as a result of a deal in which we got nothing. We didn't even get four hostages out. We got nothing. And Iran gets everything they want.
That was Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee, last night at the debate. I thought he came across very strong and very solid. And I think a couple of the others did well. I think Ted Cruz did well. I thought Marco Rubio did well. I think Trump did well. I think a lot of people had some good moments. And I thought Kasich had some good moments, too. The number to call is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo. Who did you like, and what did you think of Trump's style? Did it help? Did it hurt him? Let's go to Ferris, who is here on 77 WABC. Ferris, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Rita. It's been too long. Ferris and friends out in Cleveland for the debate.
Thank you. Oh, so you were right there on the old stomping ground. What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction was the same as all clear-thinking people, and that is that the lady of the hour is Carly Fiorina, and Donald Trump is a patriot at its core. What he will do, and Ferris and friends are calling on him to do the obvious and put together a Trump-Fiorina ticket with Fiorina on top.
Ah, you know what, Ferris, that's an interesting proposal because I think, by the way, I think the Republicans would love to have a woman somewhere on the ticket, no doubt about it, because it looks like clearly it's going to be Hillary on the other side. Who knows? Of course, we're still a ways away. You never know. Biden could throw his name in, and Bernie Sanders is creeping up on her. But she did do very well last night, and she clearly sees herself as the attack dog to Hillary Clinton. And I thought she played that role brilliantly yesterday, brilliantly. And I think we're going to see her in the big show during the next debate, which is going to be in September. I think CNN has it like mid-September is the next one. So I think a lot of people are looking at her for that particular role. Of course, she says she's going for the big show. Let's go to Ted from Connecticut. Ted, real quick, you're here on 77 WABC. Your thoughts, Ted. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. My one question actually for Mr. Trump is when he says that the system is broken, he's been using the system for as long as his business career has gone on, and he's been very successful, and I appreciate his success. I give him credit for that. But I didn't see a single answer or a suggestion of how he was going to fix the system.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Ted, because that was the criticism that a lot of people had, was that he's throwing a lot of barbs, but that last night was the moment where he could kind of put some meat on the bone and give some more substance to his answers. And a lot of people felt that he was fairly thin on giving the solutions. And I think had he put a little more meat on the bone and given a little more substance to those answers and said, look, here is my plan, blank, blank, blank. We've heard about, you know, building the wall on the border. We've heard about a couple of these other things, but give a little more to it. Explain blank, blank, and blank. I think if he had gone through more clear solutions, I think he really would have hit it out of the park. I don't think he did poorly, which is what some of the critics are saying. I don't think he did. I think he actually did well, but I think he could have hit it out of the park had he had more substance. We're going to continue after the break. We're going to take your calls. And I want to get your reaction on the whole exchange with Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly. Does that help or hurt him with women? More when we come back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Well, I had a great time. I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, I think my questions were, you know, somewhat unfair, but it's fine. I was okay with it, but I really enjoyed it. Actually, some of the other people came up to me that were on the stand, and they said, man, I'm glad I didn't get those questions you were getting. And they didn't. I mean, they didn't. But, you know, I've been set up before, and I think I handled it well. I guess you have a couple of polls that came out, Drudge and Time Magazine, and I won in a landslide. So I think the questions were much tougher, but I think I handle them well based on Drudge and Time and all the, you know, other things that I've been reading on Twitter.
And this is Rita Cosby in for Geraldo here on 77 WABC. Everybody talking about Trump and some of the political critics and observers coming out and saying, look, Trump did not do so well. In fact, Charles Krauthammer saying was at the beginning of the collapse of Trump. Karl Rove saying maybe he capped out the political observer, although Karl Rove has never really been a fan of Trump, it seems like, to begin with at all. But lots of mixed reviews. I actually thought Trump did well. I would have liked to hear a little more substance, but I thought he actually did pretty well. What everybody is talking about today is the whole exchange with Megyn Kelly. And was he unkind to women in some of his comments? Well, joining me for the next hour here on 77 WABC to talk about that and to talk about just these very feisty two debates, lots to talk about this morning, is Ebony K. Williams, criminal defense attorney, also legal and political analyst, joining me here in studio. Great to have you here, Ebony.
I'm so excited to be with you this morning. I have to tell you, I woke up today like it was Christmas. I really did.
That's
a lot
of points too.
It is.
It is like Christmas for a political junkie like
you and
me.
It really is.
What did you think overall? Who did you think won?
You know, Rita, I thought overall, look, it was not a debate in the classical sense, right? Normal debate is point, counterpoint, rebuttal. With 10 candidates, you just can't do that.
I missed that, didn't you? Like, I would have loved to have seen a little bit of Holyfield Tyson.
Exactly. But instead, what we got was a pretty broad commercial with a little interaction with each other. And like you said, the best parts were the interaction, you know, Christie and Rand Paul, you know, even the moderator interaction, Megyn Kelly and Trump. So that was fun. You know who stood out to me? I thought Mike Huckabee was fantastic. We were talking about this before the show. He has significantly improved from 2012 to now. I mean, he looks like a brand new candidate. You know what? Ted Cruz, and that is someone that we're not really talking about. But in terms of conservative values, I thought he was heads and shoulders above the other candidates on that stage. The problem there, though, Rita, is when polled, ABC News and Washington Post put out a poll that said, above having conservative values, right now, Republican primary voters are looking for leadership.
Now, did he show leadership?
I thought he showed leadership, but I think people get nervous about what Ted Cruz will do in a general election.
Yeah,
I think that's the concern.
I think they did. And, you know, it was interesting. His whole point to Ted Cruz's, where he said, look, you know, yeah, I was there, the guy on the floor debating Obamacare. I was the lone voice. Sure. I went against my party. I think that will help him
because people are looking for spirit. He's the conservative renegade. You're exactly right, Rita. And I do think if you're, look, my friends on the far, far right, they're obsessed with this guy. and they absolutely love him. And really, everybody else kind of pales in comparison and looks like quite a moderate, or at least a part-time conservative. So I think Cruz was strong. I think Mike Huckabee was strong. I think Chris Christie was strong.
Yeah, I like Chris Christie last night. I thought he was good. I thought he, and I thought the way he took like Rand Paul to task.
Took him to the
floor.
Now,
you're a prosecutor. Let's get a sense. You're an attorney from a prosecutorial standpoint.
Prosecutorial standpoint and also criminal defense standpoint. Look, Chris Christie is making a case that he is America's prosecutor. He really made Rand Paul look quite sophomoric and ideological. You know, talking about, you know, it's very easy to say that when you've not been on the front lines of battle like I have.
I thought, by the way, that was one of the greatest lines
when
he said to Rand Paul, he said, you know, it's easy for you to blow smoke when you're sitting there in this Senate hall.
Yikes.
Did it help Chris Christie? Because he was struggling. He just barely made it.
I think it did. I think that, you know, with the Bridgegate and everything, I think a lot of people forgot that this is what made Chris Christie palpable in national conversations. This, you know, I can take it to task. I can be the advocate. America needs an advocate right now, Rita. That is what the message he is selling. And I don't think it's a bad message. And I think if he can get people to believe that he can go to the front line and be that advocate on national security, on NSA, on, you know, being education, I think he can make a compelling case.
Well, a lot of people are saying, look, they like his feisty spirit. He has that spirit of Trump, but yet can also back it up with some numbers.
He's got some actual experience, some substance. Look, I think he is the dark horse candidate, but he's rubbed some people the wrong way, so we'll see.
Yeah, we definitely will see. Well, everyone's talking about, Ebony, of course, the whole Megyn Kelly exchange with Donald Trump, and I want to play it. And we got two smart-spirited gals here on 77 WABC. So I'm going to tell you my take, but first let's play a little bit, and then we're going to ask Ebony and see what she thinks. This is the exchange everybody's talking about. I mean, on Twitter, there were literally millions of tweets about it last night right after it happened. This is, of course, on Fox News Channel, Megyn Kelly asking Trump and Trump's response, which was blistering. Take a listen to this exchange on Fox News Channel.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account...
Thank you.
For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
The big problem this country has is being politically correct. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And to be honest with you, this country doesn't have time either. This country is in big trouble. We don't win anymore. We lose to China. We lose to Mexico, both in trade and at the border. We lose to everybody. And frankly, what I say, and oftentimes it's fun, it's kidding, we have a good time. What I say is what I say. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that. But you know what? We need strength, we need energy, we need quickness, and we need brain in this country to turn it around. That I can tell you right now.
And Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo today. Everybody talking about that comment. I continue now with Ebony K. Williams, criminal defense attorney, legal and political analyst here in studio with me for the hour. Your reaction to that? People are saying, oh, women are going to be offended. What did you think?
I think that would be really kind of ridiculous. Here's what we know about Donald Trump, right, Rita? He is not a gentleman. Breaking news, Donald Trump is not a gentleman. I don't think any woman that's paid even a little bit of attention to this man, even before this race, had an expectation that he would answer that any other way. We also, you've worked with Megyn Kelly, I've worked with Megyn Kelly. Megyn has made quite a successful career out of doing just this type of thing, kind of, you know, being a bit of a man buster when it comes to issues like this. So I thought that was brilliant of Fox News to position her to answer, ask this question.
Yeah, to have a woman asking it.
Of course, a woman and a woman like Megyn Kelly who takes people to task on these these very issues on a routine basis.
I agree. And I thought she asked it well, and I thought, you know, her coming back and saying, look, it wasn't just Rosie O'Donnell. I also thought, I don't think Trump came across so mean. I thought Megan did a brilliant job, and I thought his answer where he basically said, you know, that was Rosie O'Donnell trying to be quippy, but then also saying, look, I could go after you, but I'm not going to. I mean, it was an interesting dance. I mean, I've seen mean Donald Trump. We've all seen mean Donald Trump, and that wasn't it.
Well, no, I don't think he felt desperate. I think normally when we see mean Donald Trump, it's because he feels like he is really on the ropes, and he is fighting from a position of weakness. He feels incredibly strong right now, Rita, and he should. I mean, he's polling, as we know.
So did it help or hurt with women? What do you think, Ebony? Because some women are coming out and saying they thought he sounded nasty.
I don't think it moved the needle with women. I think in general, I don't think Donald Trump hurt himself last night, but I wouldn't say he helped himself. And that's going to catch up with him as we see this thing drag on. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. He is well above everybody right now. But I don't know if he's going to ever grow past this 25% margin, because as you've pointed out, he can't put the meat on the bones.
Yeah,
and
well,
without
and see,
that, that's going to catch up with him.
I think he can. He just didn't. Knowing Donald Trump, and I know Donald Trump well, he is a brilliant man.
Sure.
He's a smart man. And I think he has more meat on the bone. I think he should have prepared a little more. And I think he should have added more substance. But maybe, okay, he thought, let me just get through this one. And maybe next time he'll be a little more prepared to have a few bullet points.
I love that you say that, Rita. Now, I don't know Donald Trump. And I do know that I've seen him be completely brilliant in terms of business and strategy. He seems like he's got an enormous ego to me. And I know.
Really?
From my, yeah. Right. Where'd you get that from, Ebony? No, but sometimes ego can get in the way. And I've seen this in trial work too. Some of the best litigators will fall flat in some trials because they've not prepared.
Well, he has
and
to
he's
take,
got to do his homework.
And he's got to take advice too. He's got
sure.
to say, got to listen to some people who say, look, you were really good here, but you need this. He's
right.
got to say, I got to grow better.
Yeah.
You know, I got to develop.
If he pulls out the policy binder and he makes himself a policy wonk to go along with this tremendous leadership that he's got going and this kind of renegade attitude, which by the way, you mentioned in the first hour, Rita, I talked about the raise the hand question and whether that hurt him or helped him. I think he loved that.
Yeah,
I think he absolutely, anytime.
I thought he shined.
He
there.
Shined, and anytime he can separate himself from the pack, he's in bliss. And he was able to do that from the first question.
Yeah, and I also liked, and I'd love to hear your take, Ebony K. Williams, on this. I liked his, that, look, I'm standing by it, whether you agree with him or not. Of course, a lot of people in the party do not like what he's saying, that he's still dangling it out there, maybe a third party, and taking it as being disloyal. But I liked when Brett Baer said, now you are saying you're here at a Republican primary debate and you're here at the place where the RNC is going to have their convention. You're still saying, I'm not sure. And he's like, yeah, I get it. I get it. Like, I got it.
I heard
it.
What you said.
Yeah, next
Look,
question.
Trump is the king of doubling down. You know, he concedes nothing, and that is what people like about him right now. Now, this is just my own prediction. I don't think Donald Trump has any intention at all of running a third party candidacy.
Oh, I think he does.
You think so?
I
don't think he does. I think he's using that as smart leverage
by saying,
look, you guys better treat me what I deem to be fair. Otherwise, I'm dangling this.
I think he...
But maybe he will.
I think he's a smart man. I agree that he's using it as leverage. But I think if he gets to the point where he feels he's so alienated and maybe could win, I don't think he would do it just for the sake of doing
it.
But
right.
I think if he thinks that there is a way in, if he could have a dent bigger than a Ross Perot and bigger than a Ralph Nader and all these other people.
Which he would. I agree with you there.
Yeah,
sure.
But he clearly wants it to go through the Republican Party. And I think, he said, look, I'm dangling it out, everybody. We're going to continue with Ebony K. Williams. We're going to take your calls. What do you think? Do you think it helped him, hurt him in terms of the way he was responding last night when he was asked the question and saying, look, I'm not going to be necessarily supporting the Republican nominee? Is it all a show? Is it all leverage, as Ebony is saying? Which, look, he is a showman. Or do you think it hurt him with women, the way he handled Megyn Kelly? Got two women, spunky women here who say, no, it didn't hurt him. What do you think? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Yeah, he's very much a politician. He's a corporate politician, a developer politician, a gambling casino politician, in the sense that he knows how to deal with power. He knows how to concentrate it, manipulate it, negotiate it, defeat it, overcome it. So I think he's the nightmare for the Republican Party establishment, because he's not controllable, he's not predictable, and he can go it alone. In other words, if they push him too much and ridicule him too much, he can go independent and turn the race for the presidency into a three-way race instantly.
And this is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo. That's Ralph Nader, who ran for president five times as a write-in, as a Green Party, as an independent. A lot of people thought he was the spoiler, of course, in the Bush versus Gore. He's going to be on my Sunday show, by the way. That's a little preview. I'm on my Sunday show on Sunday morning, the Rita Cosby show. And he basically thinks that Trump could be the nightmare, as many people believe, for the GOP. So what did you think of his comments last night towards Megyn Kelly? Do you think it helped hurt him with women? What about also him raising his hand saying he's not necessarily going to support the GOP nominee, that he may not be the party guy? A lot of people were not happy about that and sort of alluding to what Ralph Nader was saying there. Let's go to the calls. We've got a lot of you on the line here on 77 WABC. Let's go to Cheryl from Ohio. Cheryl, by the way, are you in Cleveland, Cheryl?
I am right outside of Cleveland.
All right.
I was at the arena last night.
Oh, you were? All right. So, interesting. So what was the mood when he made those comments to Megyn Kelly when you were there inside?
I will tell you right now, the mood, at least in my section, because I was keenly watching everything that was going on around me, and the mood was supportive of Trump from beginning to end. And there were no women booing him. You know, none of that was going on. And I'll get to the substance of what he said later on, but first I wanted to say this. I didn't appreciate what I perceived as a bias on Megyn Kelly's part. I felt that she was going after him. She sort of, the look on her face, a sort of smirk, a sort of grimace. I think that she was fairly able to contain her contemporaries.
But Cheryl, hang on one second. I'm going to go back at it because I've been in those debates in the arena. I have not done the debates, but I have covered the debates extensively and been there as a journalist many times. And he is the front runner. And, you know, I have a hard time with so many people today going, oh, you know, so-and-so was tough or they were tough. Yeah, they were tough questions. But guess what? You are running for the most important position in the world. You better
exactly.
be able to handle tough questions. And do I think that they were a little more difficult on Trump? Yes. But guess what? He is the front runner, and they should do that, no matter whether it's Donald Trump or somebody else. He's a big boy.
But
he can handle it.
But, Rita, be tough, but be fair. You know, if I were in Megan's position, if I were to know whether or not, you know, he has animosity towards women, the questions to ask are not questions about, you know, some tiff he had with Rosie O'Donnell and things that he said that might have been off color with her. Ask him about his hiring policies. He's got a huge company.
You know, and Cheryl, let me say to your point, I actually think your point is a brilliant one because I think Trump should have come back, and we're here continuing with Ebony K. Williams here in studio with me, defense attorney and legal and political analyst. I think Cheryl's point is a great one because I think that Trump should have come back. I thought his answer was great on the Rosie O'Donnell, and it was funny because
he
adds these moments, you know, and it was nice to have a little levity. But I thought also he should have come back because he does hire a lot of women. He has a lot of women in very prominent positions in his corporation throughout. I mean, he has so many people in his companies, but I know for a fact many in some very significant positions too. So he should have said, to Cheryl's point, you know, this is such a ridiculous guy. There is nobody who does blank, 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 or whatever.
For women. That would have been the best answer, Rita. You're exactly right. Now, the second best answer, I thought his answer about political correctness was very well-timed. Again, it's an opportunity for him to resonate as this kind of anti-establishment candidate, which is why he's polling so well right now. And just a bit of trivia. Not a coincidence that at Miss USA this year, owned by Donald Trump and his organization, that question was asked in the final five questions for the Miss USA candidates. And Miss Rhode
now,
Island.
Now, what were you doing at the Miss USA? What were you
well,
doing
you know,
there?
I might have competed in the Miss USA system, Rita.
Oh, you did?
Well, might have.
Oh, you did? So might have or did? Let's get
I did,
the details.
I did. I was first runner-up in Miss North Carolina USA back in 2009.
Oh, you were?
But
hey.
Whatever. Point being
hey,
is that,
beautiful
you know,
and smart. Love
oh,
that.
Love
that.
Stop it, Rita.
Love that.
No. But again, I think that this issue of political correctness is a place where Trump shines.
Yeah, I do too. And look, I thought his point, Miss North Carolina, I thought was a very good. By the way, I worked in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, we got a little talk after the show. Got a lot of stuff on Carolina to talk about.
Yeah.
We're
going to
continue. When we come back, let me ask Miss North Carolina what she thinks
should never
about
gave
Carly.
You that ammunition, Rita.
Oh, I got a lot. And more's coming after the break. A lot more when we come back. We're going to talk about Carly Fiorina and a lot more.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
I didn't get a phone call from Bill Clinton.
before I jumped in the race. Did any of you get a phone call from Bill Clinton? I didn't. Maybe it's because I hadn't given money to the foundation or donated to his wife's Senate campaign.
And this is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. Everybody seems to feel, or at least it was like 93% in the exit polls, that Carly Fiorina won that first debate. That was sort of the junior debate. I thought she did a great job. I thought she looked really strong and really came out of the gate and looked commanding and also went right for Hillary Clinton, which she's trying to position herself as the person who can go after Hillary Clinton, another woman who can kind of take her on. And we're going to take your calls on that. Do you think that she was sort of the breakout star last night, maybe in both debates even, if you look at because everyone has a little bit of a mixed bag on the second one. Was she the breakout star, and will she make it to the big leagues for the next one? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. And do you think that Trump was respectful or disrespectful to women based on some of the comments that people have been saying? A lot of people thought that he fell short, that he was tough on Megyn Kelly. Listen, I know Megyn Kelly. She's a tough cookie. She's a good, smart, great journalist. She can handle it. And I think that Trump also handled it as well. We're taking your calls on that. 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. And we continue here this hour with Ebony K. Williams, criminal defense attorney, also legal and political analyst. Ebony, I liked Carly Fiorina. I know Carly Fiorina. She's a smart woman. She has a great personal story, too, you know, starting as secretary to running the biggest tech company in the world. And I thought she showed a great command of so many different topics last night. And I think she really was the star of the evening almost.
Let me tell you something, Rita. Carly Fiorina, she was incredible. Like you said, top to bottom, small leagues, big leagues. She was really the only person that impressed me in terms of, like you say, knowing the most about the most. She also, I think it would be very excellent narrative. You know, something that's resonating with people right now, especially in the kind of wake of the Obama administration, people feel like America needs a good business person. That was the message we heard Mitt Romney trying to push in 2012. It fell flat. I think Trump is getting a lot of his support because of that very thing. People like that he's been a successful businessman. Well, you know who else has been a successful business person? This woman. She's been incredible.
You know what I liked also last night, which I thought was a great moment too, Ebony? And I hadn't seen this part of her. And I think some of it was obviously based on the questions that came at her from Fox News Channel. You're just listening to part of the debate there from Fox News Channel. When Fox said, and I think it might have been either Megan or Brett Baer said, cyber war. Technology, and that was an interesting way for her to combine her tech background and tie it in with national security, which I hadn't really heard that before. And that is a huge issue with all the hacking with China and Russia, and I thought she excelled there, too.
She sure did, Rita, and I think it would be a mistake for the GOP to kind of try to push her into this VP role. And I'm already starting to see waves.
Do you like her as the number one?
I like her. She doesn't seem like vice nothing to me. This seems like a top-of-the-ticket type of woman. She's not where she's at by being sidestepped and not seeing those type of attempts from a mile away. We saw Rick Perry doing this in the happy hour debate. At some point, he was like, well, I'd rather see
happy hour debate. You needed a few drinks for
Yeah, you
one,
did.
For,
that's, you know, it was Carly and a bunch of duds, you know. But Fiorina, you know, she saw Rick Perry try to cast her as this kind of Secretary of State. Like, oh, I would rather see you negotiating with Iran. She was like, let me be real clear. Day one of the presidency, I'm doing this. Day two of the presidency,
Although,
I'm
you
doing
know
that.
What's interesting? I interpreted that as actually a mistake by Rick Perry. I actually took it the other way.
Well,
I
he's been known to make those.
Yes, and that's why when he said that, I thought, why is he praising this other candidate? It wasn't like people were asking for praise.
Sure.
He, on his own, said, oh, I would pick Carly Fiorina. I was like, why are you sitting there praying? This is not a debate.
That's so interesting. See, I think he was doing that because I think that he's a little smarter than he used to be, right? He put the glasses on. He's a little bit sharper now. I think that he was seeing how exceptionally well she was doing, and he was trying to kind of marginalize her performance and saying she would be my John Kerry, because that's the parallel he made there.
And it did come that way. On the other hand, I think I think he shouldn't be praising her, because
silly.
It's going to come back to bite him.
I agree.
You know, because if they're going head to head at another debate, they're going to say, well, you just praised her at the last one. How can you say
she's so lousy?
It opened the door.
And you're exactly right, Rita. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, I'd rather see her debating with Iran than you, Rick Perry. So you're exactly right.
Let's go to the calls here on 77 WABC. Andrew from Stanhope, New Jersey. Who do you think shined last night? And did you like Carly Fiorina? Did you like Rick Perry in the happy hour debate?
I love Carly Fiorina. if I pronounce that correctly.
Fiorina.
My mom's a Lombardo, so she'll be mad if I mispronounce Italian names. But I wanted to talk about Trump and also Jeb, who no one's talking about. I think Trump, his big flaws were he didn't redirect and talk about his economic knowledge and his knowledge of business. He should have said, I know more, like Ben Carson knows more about brain surgery than everyone combined on the stage. I know more about business and job creation and what laws work.
And you know, Andrew, I would have liked to see him rattle off some numbers because I think he's got some impress. Your other point about Jeb Bush is an interesting one, too, because Jeb, I thought he was lackluster last night. I thought he looked, I thought also, Andrew, he did not have a good, solid answer in terms of the Bush thing, you know, getting into the whole Iran thing. He was sort of still fumbly and bumbly, and I thought that was a surprise. Let's go to Jeff from New Jersey here on 77 WABC. Jeff, who do you think stood out? Did you like Jeb Bush or Scott Walker last night? We haven't even talked about Scott Walker yet.
Yeah, well, that's who I was calling about. Scott Walker, I thought, just completely fell flat. Now, when you saw him with his, you know, when he entered the race, when you saw that speech, he was mesmerizing. He's a brilliant guy. He stuck his head in the teeth of a lion in his own home state. And last night, he just didn't do anything at all.
I saw kind of a kitty cat last night compared to the lion. I thought so, too. You know, I mean, it wasn't the fire brand. And Scott Walker has a great story to tell in terms of taking on the unions and being a fighter, very affable, personal guy. And I don't feel like he broke through last night.
Well, look, I got to tell you, Rita, I've never been that impressed with Scott Walker. That's just me. But I knew he was number three going into this debate. So I was expecting him to step up to the plate and kind of push that lead forward. He did quite the opposite. He was completely uninspiring. He got lost in the crowd. And you can't do that with 10 people on a stage.
And when you got somebody as big as like a Donald Trump. And a Chris Christie. Let's go to the call. We've got a lot of you on the line here. Let's go to Margaret from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Margaret, what do you think? Do you agree with me and Ebony or not?
Well, I have to say that I thought that I was looking forward to this debate for ever since Trump said that he was going to run, and I was hoping that he would really outshine the rest of the candidates, and I feel like he shared that spotlight. But I have to say,
quick question before you go further, Margaret. Were you disappointed? Were you impressed with Trump? What did you like it or not?
I think I was really expecting more. I really, you were talking about the Megyn Kelly piece earlier, and I don't think it ruined him, but I don't think it was necessary. I love Megyn Kelly. And look,
I do too. I think it kind of didn't do anything. I think it was typical Trump being Trump. I don't think he was overly nasty. I think she was asking a legitimate question. I mean, I think it's sort of Trumpery. He could have used it though to sort of hit it out of the park. And to your point, I think it's some way a bit of a lost moment. It could have taken it to a whole other level. Let's go to Isaac from New Jersey. Isaac, you're here on 77 WABC. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I would want to make the point that all this talk about Trump is going way out of whack. I mean, hopefully it's just a fluke and it'll go and it'll pass.
Oh, you don't like
him? He just doesn't have the right temperament. It's not about being that he prides himself in being politically correct.
But let me ask you, Isaac, how much is temperament important? Of course, you got to have someone who's got a sense of decorum if you're dealing with world leaders. On the other hand, you know, sometimes to Trump's point, and obviously a lot of people in the country who are supporting Trump, you know, we're so PC, we're so caught up in this, and, you know, and then you get a bunch of hogwash as opposed to someone who tells it like it is.
Well, telling it like it is very important and not being afraid to do what you need to do, but I don't think he has the right balance to make the right decisions. You're overlooking great candidates over here, new to the establishment.
All right, Walker, so who did you think?
Cruz, and I happen to love Rubio. I don't think he did a great job last night, but I happen to think he's a great candidate. There's a lot of presidential material.
And by the way, Isaac, I thought one of the great points, by the way, last night, and Rubio, I thought, had a great line, too, where he came out and said, it was the God question, and Rubio made the comment, well, you know, God has blessed the Republican Party with a whole bunch of candidates, and the Democrats don't even have one. I thought it was a really, really good one.
Reed, I think that was a great line, and I think it was a great pitch for him to be the vice presidential pick.
You don't think he's the home run
not
guy.
Only that, yeah, and I don't think that he really thinks he was. I think that if Trump was showing anti-party loyalty last night in that first question, Rubio was the Republican Party cheerleader. He was very complimentary of everyone on the stage, and I think that's great, but when you're trying to stand out from the pack, I think that hurts you.
Well, it's interesting. Today, a lot of people, I feel the same way you did. I thought Rubio did okay. I thought he had a great answer when he said, look, if it goes up against Hillary Clinton, I know what it's like living paycheck to paycheck. I had $100,000 that I had to pay off in student loans
Rubio.
A couple of years ago. Yeah, really. I felt like saying, that's all?
Yeah, exactly. No. I was like, you both got some scholarships.
Yeah, really. Thank God. Yeah. Thank goodness, baby. But, you know, I sat there and I thought, you know, that is a good answer. I thought he had some great moments. But I thought he was all right. And
He was timid. Here's the thing, Rita.
But people are saying, some of the polls are going, you know what, he did well. Some of the polls thought he won. And I don't know if I'd say that.
I wouldn't say he won. I think he did well enough to stay in this conversation. And that's all he needs to do to be on the ticket. But I think as number two, we have to remember, too, coming out of this Obama administration, a lot of people are going to be hesitant to put a first-term junior senator at the top of the ticket again, even on the Republican side, because I just think there is a lot of hesitancy around someone who has not had executive leadership or at least been at senior leadership in the congressional space.
Well, and that's what I think exactly that Trump has tapped into, this sort of anti-establishment feeling that, and I thought, by the way, I thought it was brilliant, John Kasich last night, when Megyn Kelly teed it up to him and was waiting for them to kind of go at it so we'd have this sort of, you know, bout there. And he said, no, look, there's no doubt. Trump has tapped into an anger. Trump has tapped into a frustration. We're going to continue with Ebony K. Williams and also taking your calls right after the break. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo.
From New York for New York. Live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Oh, well, I think Donald Trump is all right to be asked is about what his views are about various key issues. What will you do? We now know what he has said. We know a little bit about what he's said, and he really is very outspoken about himself, and he's a man of confidence. Now he has to be pressed. Okay, what exactly would you do about immigration? What exactly would you do about ISIS? What exactly would you do about health care? If you don't like Obamacare, okay, well, how exactly would you fix it or repair it or replace it? In other words, be very, very specific.
And this is Rita Cosby here in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. That is Jim Lehrer, a great moderator. Many people think the best moderator ever of presidential debates. He's going to be on my Sunday show this Sunday, so make sure you tune in. I also have Ralph Nader. I got so many great guests. Also, I have Kent Brantley, the guy who survived Ebola. He and his wife telling an amazing story of how he survived. You know, 70% people die from Ebola, so he's going to be fascinating. And that's going to be on Sunday morning on the Rita Cosby Show. And Jim Lehrer, who's done 12 presidential debates, saying the key is to hold Trump's feet to the fire. So did they do it? Did they excel? We got a lot of callers here on 77 WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mickey from Manhattan real quick. Mickey, you're here on WABC. What did you think of Trump?
Well, I think the reason Megyn Kelly and a lot of you ladies are upset about Donald Trump.
I'm not upset about him.
No, we're not upset.
Yeah, Ebony's with me.
Let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
He's an alpha male. He doesn't feel guilty about being an alpha male. He doesn't feel he has to apologize because it's being an alpha male is no longer fashionable. Now, I think our country, with the threats that we're facing from Islamic terrorism, we need a strong alpha male. The idea of a female president fighting an Islamic terrorist army is ridiculous. You know what?
Mickey, hang on one second. See, I'm going to use your psychology. I actually completely disagree with you because two things. First of all, I do think we need a strong person and a strong personality, whoever that is, man or woman. But I'd love to see whether it's a woman or whoever it is. I think, look, for the presidency, you have to have the most capable, whether it's a man or a woman. But imagine if it is a strong-spirited woman. I'd love to see that woman telling ISIS, okay, now you get on your knees right now, buddy.
Absolutely.
Here's a little bit of what, you know, come on, baby. You know, I mean, to me, that would be the most like diminishing thing for someone of ISIS or someone on Al-Qaeda to have a U.S. female president who hopefully brings them to their knees and cripples that organization. Again, I still think you got to pick the best person, man or woman. But I like that he's alpha male, Ebony K. Williams.
I agree. I think it's great that he's an alpha male. But look, I don't think being an alpha male is.
I think Mickey, by the way, is drinking some Red Bull.
Yeah, Mickey's kind of crunk over there. Yeah. But look, I respectfully disagree with Mickey. I don't think being an alpha male means being a misogynist. And I think that was the point Megyn Kelly was trying to at least position him to say and
Did
really giving an opportunity. I think he came across a little bit like a misogynist. But again, that's the bombastic style of Trump. Many things he said on Celebrity Apprentice or during his time with the Miss University organization have been objectifying women. I don't think that's news to anybody. But like I said at the top of this hour, you don't have to be a gentleman to win the nomination or the presidency. So those are different things. But I don't agree with that.
I think he should have used the moment and turned said, look, you know, I hire X, I do this. And the other thing, too, with the other thing he should have also said, yeah, look, I made these comments. I mean, he made the little funny quip about Rosie O'Donnell, but he should said, did you hear what I said about this guy? And did you hear what this is who I am?
Exactly. He's consistent. He doesn't cherry pick who he goes after.
Yeah, he's an equal opportunity basher.
Offender. Exactly. Now, a quick point about Jeb Bush, who we've, of course, not mentioned very much.
And by the way, not a lot of people mention him today.
Quiet as crickets. And that's Jeb Bush's fault. You know, I almost felt bad for him, except for your number two going into this thing, Jeb Bush. And you've got better name recognition than anybody on the stage, with the exception of Donald Trump. He should have been able to shine. He should have been the anti-Trump, and he wasn't. He was nowhere in the conversation. He's so busy running from the bush of the ghost of his brother. But really, he'd be lucky to even be in the same conversation as his brother right now, because at least his brother demonstrated leadership and got people to believe in his vision for America. Jeb can't do that right now.
And he also was a little fumbly. His answers were soft. Yeah. It was a little awkward, and it was a little mumbly. He didn't have it. And maybe he just wanted to play it safe and hope that Trump is going to erupt. Who knows? Maybe, you know, I just think he's got to get a little more polished. Ebony, great having you with us this hour. Tons of fun. Alpha women, everybody. Alpha women here. Take that, Mickey. Take it, baby. Everybody tune in on Sunday, too. Again, we will have Ralph Nader and Jim Lehrer and Curtis and Kubi coming up. Two alpha males there.